You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are doing a small show on players that you might be able to sell at the peak of their fantasy basketball value and thus executing a sell high trade. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. The first one I'm going to talk about, this sell high window might be closing a little bit, but Andre Drummond is currently ranked really, really high, number 9th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Blake Griffin is back. Now, a lot of people will understand that Griffin's return will have an impact on Drummond, but this is not for those people, because that's a fairly obvious statement, I think. But there are plenty of people who are, I don't know if you call them Andre Drummond truthers, who say, he's a beast, contract year Andre Drummond, he's going to continue putting up these numbers. And they are the sort of people that you need to seek out in these sort of deals. Now, I don't think that he's necessarily going to fall outside the top 20 or anything along those lines, but we are going to see some level of a drop. And what we will see, I believe, from Drummond's performance so far this season is we'll see his scoring and usage drop. He's at 26% so far this year. His career best prior to that was at 24, about four seasons ago. And his assist numbers are at 3.1 so far this year. Last year with Griffin in tow, 1.4. And this has been a common theme with Drummond. When he plays without Griffin, the assist numbers go up. When he plays with Griffin, the assist numbers go down. So both of those things are going to drop him out. He is, again, the 9th ranked player over the entirety of the season, averaging 20 and 17. He'll still be a good rebounder. He'll still get those defensive numbers. It's just that the usage will drop enough that it is going to have an impact. And those assist numbers, they might even cut in half. And that's going to drop a big chunk of Drummond's value away. So depending on what the people who are looking at Drummond think, you might still be able to get a top 10 guy back. If you could execute a trade of Drummond and send him for, say, a struggling top 10 guy, maybe that's Nikola Jokic. You could even consider maybe a Bradley Beal, a LeBron James, those sort of guys. Not that LeBron is necessarily struggling, but there are other options that you could consider in that sort of a sell high situation. Domantas Sabonis, also a sell-high guy, in my opinion, who is putting up absolute monster numbers at the moment. He is, over the course of the season, the 24th ranked player. That is obviously really, really high. He is doing that by playing 35 minutes a game. Obviously, again, a really high number, averaging 20 and 13 with 3.9 assists. No steals, no blocks, good efficiency, 85% from the line. So there are a couple of clear indicators of regression here. Now, he is playing an additional 10 minutes a night this season versus last season. That's not overly surprising, but what we're seeing at the moment, there's no Miles Turner on this team. There's no Jeremy Lamb on this team, and of course, there's no Victor Oladipo on this team. Now, Turner and Lamb, their return is coming pretty soon, maybe in the next game or two. Oladipo, we're still looking at him being a month or so away from return, but all of these things, yeah, Sabonis' usage of 24%, the 35 minutes even, he might not be able to get that much playing time when Turner's back. He might, look, there's no, he still might be able to get that level of playing time, but it's more that will he be able to be playing center and pulling in as many rebounds as he is? Because at the start of the season, those games Turner played 13 boards in the first game, then 5 in the next game. His last 4 games since returning from a calf injury, 17, 14, 16, and 16. Turner's not the best rebounder, but playing alongside Turner versus playing alongside Jakar Sampson, I think it is a little bit of a difference. So I think his usage has a significant chance to drop. I think his rebounding numbers have a significant chance to drop as well. He's also shooting at 14 percentage points higher with his free throw percentage than what he was last year, where he was a 72% guy. So there is some room for that. Maybe he's improved, and that's a possibility. But if he hasn't, there is significant room for that to drop back down. He has never been that level of a free throw shooter before. And while we wait for these guys like Lamb and like Turner and then Oladipo to return, there is going to be a flow-on effect for guys like Sabonis, who'll still be really good, no doubt about that, and probably still be a top 50 sort of a player. I'm just not sure he's going to be that guy who is, as I said, the 24th ranked guy over the season and 18th over the last 2 weeks. That is a significant chance for you to get some value back. I love John Isaac. Everyone knows that. I also don't think that he's the 20th best player in fantasy basketball for the rest of this season, which is where he's currently sitting over the last 2 weeks. Isaac is playing 31 minutes a night. That's totally sustainable. 12 points per game, fine. But 3.1 blocks, 1.3 steals. Hey, the steals are fine. The blocks is where I draw the line. Now, that is an absolutely huge number. And in terms of fantasy impact, in a Z score for that category, 3.58. And his next highest is steals at 0.73. So 5 times the impact his best category has versus his second best category. That is where you get worried. That is why when we talk about someone like Rudy Gobert, whose value had been way down, it's because instead of blocking 2.2 shots a game, he was blocking 1.2 shots a game. And if Isaac goes from 3.1 blocks down to 1.9 blocks, still a really good number, that's a big, big drop off. It's 20, 30, 40 spots ranking wise, perhaps. It is a big, big fall off if that's the case. Now, I still think he can be at close to a top 50 guy. We're seeing minutes. We're seeing consistency in offense. We're seeing an improvement in free throw percentage. That could also drop. He's at 91% from the line. He has made strides every year, 76 to 82. Now he's at 91. I think there's a chance that that drops back off. But if we're looking at Isaac as a top 20 type of player, I think we're going to be a little bit disappointed. He's shooting 38% from three. Not a completely unrealistic amount to expect. But if that drops off 4%, if we see the blocks drop off by 20%, which again would still make it really, really good, but it doesn't make it 3.1, then there is a big drop off. So again, look at who, if you've got Isaac, look at who might be interested. Try and sell him on, hey, third year breakout, look at these blocks. Maybe they're real. I don't think that they are. I think getting 3 blocks a game is going to be tough for him to maintain. Farton, Will Barton. Now, Barton's in an interesting situation where he's available in 31% of Yahoo leagues. So in those situations, you need to go and add him. But also, over the course of the last 2 weeks, he's the 31st ranked player, and I don't think that will stick. Why don't I think it'll stick? Well, for a start, in those 4 games, he's averaging 9.5 rebounds per game. That is not Will Barton's game. Everyone's well aware that is not who he is. This is a guy whose career best rebounding was 5.8 rebounds per game 6 seasons ago. So those rebound numbers are going to come down. He's also shooting 53% from three. Again, not going to stick. Now, on the flip side, you can say, Josh, he's shooting 39% from two. That will change as well. And I agree. That will improve, and that'll come up. He's like a mid to high 40s, probably a high 40s guy in terms of two-point percentage. But dropping that three-point percentage down, it's going to happen. His best ever three-point shooting season was 37%. He was at 34 last year. He can get back to that 37 this year, I think. I just don't think he can stick at that level. And that's going to drop his overall production because his usage is fine. It's 20%, and that's probably where he sticks. It's more that he's getting that boost from three-pointers in his field goal percentage, in his points per game, and his three-pointers made. The three-category influencer is the concern. He's also at a career high in terms of steal numbers. His best season before was at 1 steal a game. He's at 1.4. So there are 3 clear indicators there of a big drop-off potentially coming. Still a must-roster guy, and you grab him off the wire, but not a player that I'm viewing as a top 40 guy where he is over the course of the season, or, as I said, a top 30 guy over the last few games. Jaylen Brown, another guy that I think is riding high at the moment. He is, over the last 2 weeks, the 40th ranked player. And like Andrew Wiggins, Jaylen Brown has taken some big steps forward this season. 22 points per game, 7.7 rebounds. These are over his last 3 games since he returned from that issue. 2.3 assists, 56% shooting, and 84% from the free throw line. Over the course of the year, he's the 63rd ranked player. But again, there are massive, massive leaps in efficiency from a 55 true shooting to 62 true shooting. It's not coming on the back of 3-point shooting, but he's shooting 62% from 2-point land. That is going to drop. And this is a bloke who's never hit 70% of his free throws. He's never even gotten to 69%.
Giggity.
Of his free throws, and he's at 77. So there are a couple of elements there. Prime for regression, as are the rebounds, where he was, his best season was 5 rebounds per game. He's up over 7 rebounds per game this season. So there are, look, and maybe he's made all these big improvements, the scoring efficiency, the rebound efficiency, the free throw improvement. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe he's improved in all those, but thinking that all of them have improved that much so far this season is probably going to lead you astray when trying to gather his overall value. All right, on to the next one. It is Tony Warren Jr. of the Indiana Pacers. I could have put Jeremy Lamb in here for the Pacers troika, but with all those injuries, Warren has really stepped it up. And over the last 2 weeks, he's the 42nd ranked fantasy player, averaging 20 points per game. He's doing it by shooting 62% from two. He's not taking as many threes as last year, but that percentage has come back up, 37%. But he's doing nothing else. 3.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists. Now, granted, 1.4 steals is nice, but it's the 58% from the field, 85% from the line. Those numbers, and that field goal percentage is his best fantasy category, over double the impact versus his next best category. When that usage does fall off, and if that efficiency comes back down, which I do think it will, he's never been a 58%. Now, he's always been around 50, but 58% and 53 over the course of the 11 games of this season are numbers that aren't going to stick. Plus, the minutes might drop off if they have to push Jeremy Lamb up to small forward when Oladipo returns. That usage, which has spiked with the absences of Turner and of Lamb as well, that has helped him. And he's on a real hot streak in terms of these shots. And again, a 4 or 5% decrease in his two-point percentage will drop that value pretty significantly. Is he a must-roster guy? Yeah, he is for now. That may not last the entirety of the season, but for now, yes, he is that must-roster player. Marcus Morris, I had him on this list last season. He is still in that zone, 54th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, 35 minutes a night, 21 points per game, usage of 26%. He is jacking up too many shots on a bad team. It is not leading to winning. At some point, this Knicks team is either going to fire Fizdale or they are going to realize they should be trying to develop guys like Trier and Knox, and that means reducing shots and minutes for Marcus Morris. Morris is putting up these big numbers, career best in usage numbers, career best in scoring numbers. Efficiency is middle of the pack. His steals are still low. He gets no assists. His rebounds are okay. But he's not a guy that I look at and expect him to be a 19-point-per-game guy and a top 50 type of player or top 60 sort of player. At some point, it is going to come. It's going to come pretty hard. So if anyone wants to give you a top 60, a top 75 guy even, I would accept back in a trade for Marcus Morris, because eventually I think that hit is going to come. The last guy, we're staying in New York, but this time we're going to Brooklyn, and it is DeAndre Jordan, who over the last 2 weeks is the 56th ranked player, averaging 10 and 11 with 1.5 blocks on 65% shooting. Now, those rebounds are fantastic. There's been some games, though, that Jarrett Allen has been in foul trouble, and that has pushed DeAndre Jordan's minutes higher. Those last two games especially, 19 rebounds and 31 points in 54 minutes. Now, prior to that, his minutes had really been struggling, only 16 a game. And the other thing he's done this year, and maybe this is real, is he's increased his block rate. He is at 1.2 blocks per game this season, and that translates to 2 blocks per 36. The last time he was that high was 15-16 season. Maybe you could say 16-17 when he blocked 1.9. But the last 2 years, 1.1 and 1.3 blocks per 36 minutes. He's getting an interesting short-term boost with Allen and those foul troubles. So that is boosting his overall numbers. For the year, he's the 107th ranked player, really on the back of a high field goal percentage and rebounds. And if you want those, then he can be of value there. But if someone believes that we are back to the old time DeAndre Jordan of being a top 60, top 50 sort of a player, I think that they're going to be disappointed. And that's the sort of move you should be making in a sell high situation. Don't forget, guys, that is the end of today's show. To subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube, give me a thumbs up, leave a comment, and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.